Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Welcome to Radio Islam International with me, Sister Faiza Munshi, on this Wednesday morning on the Progress Over Perfection program for Ramadan. Today, what are we talking about? For many of us, doing any form of extra movement or exercise seems to be very difficult in Ramadan. So that's our topic for today. Movement in Ramadan. And we're not talking about, you know, moving around the kitchen and doing our daily chores. What we're actually talking about, inshallah, with my guest sister Sadia Jumai in a few minutes, is about exercise. It's about doing consistent amount of movement, exercise, stretches, etc., and what that does for ourselves. So we're going to look at it from the perspective, of course, from a physical perspective. But also I wanted to, you know, look at how does the physical perspective, how does it impact on us spiritually? For you know, for those of you who may feel that this makes a difference, then you can WhatsApp us on the Radio Islam WhatsApp number. But also in just asking ourselves the question, does it make a difference if I do some form of exercise in the month of Ramadan, or is it really difficult? I mean, for myself in particular, and I'll talk about that with my guest as well, we have a mindset that it's so difficult. We have a fear base, how are we going to cope with the fast? And so we look at all of that. We look at why is it important to actually move in a very structured way in terms of exercise. And we're going to look at both some of the challenges people face, but also look at why this is so important. Why will it make a difference? How will it make a difference in terms of our Taraweeh Salah? How will it make a difference in terms of our day and being able to also have a bit more of a positive mindset? So that's what we've got on for today, inshallah, for the program. I'm really looking forward to it, inshallah. For now, we're going to take an ad break, get my guest on, and get on with the program. Stay tuned. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Welcome back to Radio Islam International with me, Sister Faiza Munshi, on this Wednesday program, Progress Over Perfection. My guest on the line is Sister Sadia Juma. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, Sadia.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, Faiza. How are you?
Alhamdulillah, and you. Great to have you on again.
Alhamdulillah, jazakallah for the invite again.
So, Ramadan for you, what's it been like so far before we get into the program, inshallah?
Alhamdulillah, it's been amazing, and simply because of my work and the fact that I am able to continue with my training with our Muslim sisters in my community that are coming consistently for their sessions. And that has been a motivator for me on so many different levels, to be able to see my older mothers and sisters training and fasting and giving me positive feedback. So on, from that regard, it's just been a massive motivator for me personally, giving me a whole lot more focus and energy, and to be more motivated in my work as well as performing the best I can in our blessed month of Ramadan.
Now, I'm scared to say this out loud, right? Because we are on air and, you know, I've got to say this and then you're going to know that I don't exercise a lot in Ramadan. But I'm going to say it anyway. So when we had a conversation about this program, I said to you, I said, Sister Sadia, I don't believe that many women exercise and I don't think it makes such a big difference. And so you said, I'll prove it to you. And you did get some, you know, feedback from some of your clients for me to read. And to our listeners, I'll read that out as we go through the program, inshallah. Because honestly, I think, and we're going to start with this, is that, you know, we as, I don't know whether it's a generational thing, or I'm not sure how we've gotten into this mindset, but exercising in Ramadan is almost like a foreign concept to many of us. It's like a fear base that we have. What if I exercise? I'm going to get too hungry. I'm not going to manage. Talk us through why, as a community, as a society, as individuals even, we find that exercising in Ramadan is just something, you know, for someone else or some other community, or it just doesn't exist.
Exercise is foreign. I believe exercise is foreign to us because we simply didn't know better. Our elders didn't know better 20 and 30 years ago to be able to bring this into our lifestyle as with commitment and consistency. We were never taught that it was okay to train in Ramadan. We were never taught that it is safe and it is actually so important to maintain our body, our health, to maintain our focus levels and our ibadah, because everything changes in Ramadan. Our eating changes, our prayers change, the day changes. And in order to keep up with the sudden and drastic change that happens from the 11 months of the year, it's your physical training that enables you to be consistent, to be healthy, to have the energy, to have the focus. And now that we know better, there is no excuse. Life is getting harder. Health issues are becoming so common. To just not train and not do anything for an entire month, when your body is actually at its peak through the fasting with regenerative work happening in the body, your cells are regenerating, you're healing from inside. The training, the exercises in Ramadan only benefits you. No one has ever regretted trying it for the first time. Nobody has ever regretted or said that it was a bad experience to be able to do your gentle stretches. Alhamdulillah, it has only been positive feedback, which just proves to us as a community and as a society that we can change. So yes, it was foreign. It doesn't need to be a foreign concept. It is something that everybody can do. Our mothers and sisters can do it throughout the day in their homes and in their kitchen. And it's important, Eva. It's so important.
Yeah. I think, and also to speak about the fact that as women, as Muslim women, it's not that we're not moving in Ramadan. We are constantly on our feet. And I find that we are constantly doing something. It's a busy day. You know, if, for example, we look at these last 2 weeks. It was still school, madrasa, school rounds, madrasa rounds, and then the iftar and preparing. It is a busy time for many women. And I find, Sadia, is that with being so busy and on our feet, we actually find that our bodies are more sore without having stretched. And I tried that, you know, in the last couple of weeks where, you know, you could feel that your body is in pain because you're used to doing certain stretches or certain exercises. And then I slowly started saying, you know, I need to incorporate that in the day. And it makes a big difference in terms of the pain, because we are on our feet a lot. And I think that's where we have this misconception that if we move or exercise, we're going to, you know, not be able to cope with the fast. Because it's not like we're sitting down and doing nothing and conserving our energy all day. We actually are moving. Exactly. So why is the structured movement? Because, I mean, it's not like we, like I said, we're on our feet, we're working, we're physically doing things. Why does the structured movement build the body? Because I always find that as women, we're on our feet all the time, but it's almost like we're breaking our bodies down, you know, being in that kitchen on our feet all the time. Where does the structured movement become important in terms of building our bodies up?
It's a great question, Faiza, and it really is so important for our mothers and sisters that are in the kitchen all day. So the reason that the levels of fatigue, tiredness, and back pain result in 90% of women after spending the entire day in the kitchen in the morning, and then the running around in the school runs, in the car, out the car. Firstly, our ladies don't wear the correct shoes, the correct feet support, ankle support in the kitchen. Our postures, our alignment of our spine and our pelvic girdle is incorrect in the kitchen. Our spine is an S, it's not a C. And if you just think of your basic standing position, you know, are you activating your tummy muscles? Is your posture straight? Is your spine straight? And standing in the kitchen all day, it causes a compression on your spine. Because it's lack of movement, which means that there's lack of blood flow. And this results in muscle fatigue, leg cramps. Very common is lower back pain. And these musculoskeletal disorders is because of the prolonged static standing position with incorrect posture, incorrect balance, incorrect spine movement has a very bad long-term negative effect on your main joint, it affects your varicose veins, you have stiffness in your neck. And the sad part about it is that all these symptoms can lead to very serious chronic diseases like arthritis, chronic inflammation, and fatigue. Where the structured work comes in, Faiza, is structured stretching allows you to open up and enable your muscles more so that your muscles can take the 2 to 3 hours of standing. So if you stretch in the morning before you go into the kitchen, you're going in with an able body. You're not going into the kitchen with a tired body. You're going in to the kitchen with a body that has active muscles, not inactive muscles that's obviously going to get tired more quickly. Your structured stretching gives you the ability to be flexible and then mobile in your joints as well, which eliminates the back pain, the hip pain, the knee pain. Very common issues that I have with the older ladies is the back pain, the hip pain, and that is now in the lower part of the body. It's not a coincidence. These women have been standing in the kitchen every day, Monday to Friday, Monday to Saturday, 2, 3, 4 hours at a time for the past 40 years. Logically speaking, if you stand incorrectly for 40 years, there is going to be a physical consequence to that. We forgetting how important our backs are. So I take nothing away from wanting to feed your family and make the best food for them. I'm saying it would just be so much more worth your while if you are doing it with a healthy, able body where you are not exhausted and in pain at the end of the day.
Sorry to cut in there, but I feel for me the greatest guilt factor that we have as women, and we're going to talk about it, we're going to take a break and talk about Ibadah and how that the exercise makes a difference there, but I just want to bring it in from an emotional perspective, Sadia, is that as women, I know many women who feel the guilt factor of there's no guilt around feeding the family because you've done all the best in terms of that and you've, you know, put out what you can. But there's a guilt about how we're reading out the Rawi Salah. There's a guilt about being too tired to stand and read Salah. There's a guilt about now suddenly, you know, you stood all day, but then you're sitting and reading Salah, which just doesn't sit well. Doesn't sit well in the system. And we see that many with not even our older, like in the 70s, you know, we're starting to see that more often, even with a younger generation. I recently had an incident where I had to see a doctor, and it was an orthopedic, and they said, whatever you do, if you are in your 40s and you have an issue with your knee or your back or whatever, do not sit and read Salah. Because you will continue sitting and reading Salah until the day you die. You know, it's a mindset. So I just want to talk about that a little briefly, and then we'll really talk about it after the break in terms of Ibadah. But, you know, I'm sure you have a lot of women also who maybe start with you and say, you know, I used to feel so guilty that I used to be up and about with my family all day, but then I would sit and read Salah.
Yeah. Faiza, you know, we understand by now, we should fully understand the impact of our emotions on our body and how negative emotions get stuck. And that makes you physically more stuck. And it's just a snowball effect of where there's no processes or therapy or anything happening to deal with the emotions. You're snowballing in terms of your body because you're just trying to prove yourself and keep going all the time when things are not okay. Physical training, in my humble opinion, is the fastest and easiest way to be able to process emotion. And guilt and shame, and sadly, very sadly, is a very common in our Muslim communities, because it's almost like nothing we ever do is good enough. You have to keep giving and giving and giving, and that's perfectly fine to give, and to give with good intention and to give wholeheartedly. But what's the point of giving if you're feeling guilty about yourself and the way you are reading your Salah? It seems like a contradiction. We have to be able to find a balance as women. We have to be able to deliver our best for our family and do it within the best version of ourselves. And that best version of ourselves means health, strength, flexibility, mobility, good sleep, a clean gut, a regulated nervous system.
Yes, absolutely. I think more and more you know, we, because I guess, you know, social media has its pros and its cons, but I think the one thing that's also come to the fore for many is that there's so many out there trying to push this, you know, have a healthy life, eat healthy, do more, move more in a more positive way. And I think that is starting to impact the mindset of many of us within communities, where it was just, you know what, doing our Ramadan in a particular way without actually paying attention to what was happening to our body, eating in certain ways where by the end of Ramadan, I'm not going to bring eating into it because I know how passionate you are about the food, but we'll bring it briefly just now. But, you know, it's about making that change. It's about understanding that we've got to be able to do things better, like you said, and be the best that we can. Before we take a break for ads, I just want to share this that you shared with me, Sadia, from one of your clients. It says, I'm a 52-year-old grandmother of 9, and I've always looked for ways to stay active and healthy. But I must say, nothing has changed my life quite like these exercise classes have. Before I started, I felt like my energy was just not what it used to be. I would even sit down during the Taraweeh prayers in Ramadan because I didn't have the stamina to stand through all 20 rakats. However, after joining these classes, there's been a huge shift in how I feel. It's like I've tapped into a new level of energy I didn't know I had. The trainer's idea makes sure everyone can keep up, no matter their fitness level, and the atmosphere is always supportive and encouraging. What's really incredible is how this newfound energy has spilled over into other parts of my life. For example, this Ramadan is different. I'm able to stand and pray all 20 rakats without needing to sit down. This is a big deal for me, showing me that the benefits of these classes go beyond just getting fit. They're helping me live my life more fully. These classes have shown me that it's never too late to make a change. I'm doing things now that I didn't think were possible for me anymore. And I'm so grateful for that. If you're thinking about trying something new to get active, I can't recommend these classes enough. They've truly been a game changer for me. Now, understanding that you, alhamdulillah, that you are in a particular area, but just speaking about this for the greater community and understanding that, you know, having somebody guide you through this process, I think is an important part of it as well. Yeah. We're going to take a short break with some ads. When we come back, we'll speak more to Sister Sadia about the impact of exercise, the type of exercise we should be doing, and also that continue about with regard to the idea of Ibadah, movement, Ramadan, how this all comes together to make it a more positive Ramadan. For now, a short break with some ads. When we come back, more on our topic. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Welcome back to Progress Over Perfection with me, Sister Faiza Munshi. My guest on the line is Sister Sadia Juma. We're talking about movement in Ramadan, why exercise is so important, and, you know, what it could do for us as women, as mothers, in terms of our ibadah, in terms of our bodies, in terms of how we feel. Sadia, welcome back once again to Radio Islam. I want to look at what things are like when we don't follow a good regimen, and then we look at the flip side in terms of being healthy. If I am a person who's stuck in the old system of we eat savories, as soon as we break our fast, we have a milkshake perhaps, and then go to Maghrib Salah, come back, eat some sort of a meal, you know, without any salads or veggies or anything that, you know, that's healthy, and then go to Taraweeh Salah and come back and have a dessert. Talk to me about this kind of eating and what it does to the body and what it does for the person actually putting their body through that process, and the feeling that we have in terms of our ibadah, in terms of our movement, in terms of inflammation, all of it.
All of it, great. You know, we laugh every day at our sessions because I tell the ladies about the savories, you know, and sometimes I feel like we are South African obsessed with savories and prepping months before. And I just want to bring this into our awareness with regards to the meat in all our savories, that this meat is cooked, it is then frozen, it is then defrosted, and then fried. Does that logically sound healthy to you? You know, food that's been sitting in the freezer for months and months. Our savories are almost like for the just-in-case visitors, so they get stored in our freezers for months. We have an overload of sugar, where there's continuously bad sugar that's going into our liver all the time. So when the body needs the fuel and the energy to read our Taraweeh and to pray longer, we cannot, because the body is literally in survival mode. results in crazy IBS issues because there is nothing but junk going into the digestive system. And the bulk of the eating is done in a short period of time, which just causes so much stress on our entire digestive system. Overload of sugar is a massive issue in our community as our Indian Muslim people, because we have literally become addicted to sugar from the time we were 1 and 2 years old. And it goes so late into our life, into our youth, into our teenagers as we get older. And then we wake up at 48, 50 with very serious chronic conditions like an underactive thyroid or rheumatoid arthritis or a blood condition. And we're shocked and we don't know how this could have happened to us. If you are putting sugar, any bad sugar, for 40 years into your liver, there has to be a consequence to that again. And we're missing the point in taking our health seriously, understanding that it's wonderful to keep fast the entire day. And we're just completely undoing the whole purpose of the fast when I find it almost greedy, you know, we're so obsessed. We have like 3 different fries and savories on the table, plus the meal, plus the milkshakes. Your tummy is the size of your fist. So if everyone can look at their fist right now, can you honestly tell me that is just the amount of food that you're putting in your tummy? No, we're overeating. I mean, we don't have the energy to read our namaz, obviously, because the body cannot give you energy if your body is too busy trying to process and sort out all the unhealthy food that you've just given it. It leads to zero strength, and your fatigue and inflammation just increases. Sad to say, 99% of us are inflamed, and that's because of the sugar in the flour. The aches and pains are not going away because it's chronic inflammation that is sitting in our back, that is sitting in our hips, that is sitting in our main joints, on our shoulders. That is all connected to how your body is going to respond, to how your muscles are going to respond. Our eating, like you said, I'm very passionate about it, is because for me it is something that is, we want to believe that we're doing good, but it's actually not serving us in the long run. Our bodies are an amanat to us. It's given to us as a gift. It's a guardianship. We need to look after our bodies. By eating so much and overeating all the time and worried constantly only about your next meal, it goes in contradiction of what we actually and how we actually supposed to be as Muslim people. And the consequences, the health consequences, are just—it's recurring. It's just happening too quickly, too often, and it's ongoing. And it breaks my heart to see that there are so many people in our community that are sick and struggling. And one of the main reasons for that is the bad eating.
Yes, I mean, I've spoken previously about how we should be eating, so we're not going to concentrate too much on that. Let's keep with the topic on movement now. We know what I wanted to look at this in terms of the eating, because we just need to understand that's where the inflammation is coming from. But when it comes to movement, Sadia, somebody may say to you, but I'm so scared, you know what, I haven't been exercised and haven't done anything. How do I start in Ramadan? What is the best way to think about exercise, first of all, to change mindset? And secondly, what is the best way to get started? We've got 2 weeks left of Ramadan. The last 10 days are coming. Many of us are going to be exhausted on the Musalla Tarawih because we've eaten the wrong foods, whatever. So say, for example, we start improving that. We cut out a lot of the unhealthy foods, right? That will be step one. But step two is obviously to get our bodies into shape. A particular degree in the short period of time. So those last 10 days, we can make the absolute most of our ibadah. We can be, you know, energized, like your clients have sent. I've seen a few of them. I may get a chance to read one or two more. But as your clients have said, they're energized, they feel better, they can stand in salah. They have that, you know, there isn't that inflammation and pain that they're dealing with. So if somebody says to you now, they're listening to our program, but I mean, where do I even start at this stage in Ramadan? What would you say to them?
So let's quickly talk about why just five main points on why exercise and movement is so important in Ramadan. Firstly, it maintains your physical health. Regular exercise, consistent exercise, does help you to maintain your overall physical health, including your cardiovascular, your heart health, your muscle strength, your flexibility. And because everything is already disrupted in Ramadan with our different sleeping patterns and eating times, maintaining your physical health is the easiest way. Okay. Boosting energy levels. There's nothing that creates energy better in the body than movement. Your levels of fatigue, and it disappears when you move. Our bodies, subhanAllah, our bodies are created to move. We are not meant to be stagnant. We are not meant to be stuck. When you're stuck, do you have energy? No. When you move, you do have energy. Very important is our muscle mass. And this is what a lot of people don't understand, is the capacity of your muscle mass is so important, because it is that is going to be able to hold you upright going into your old age, being able to keep your posture and your spine up straight so you don't have to use a walking stick, or you don't have to, you know, succumb to a wheelchair. So preserving muscle mass is so important for now, present, and inshallah, for our future well-being as well. My favorite, my most favorite to physical training is what it does for you mentally, your mental well-being. Exercise, time and time again, has just been proven to have only positive effects on us mentally, reducing your stress levels, your anxiety, depression. This is so beneficial during Ramadan, because fasting is, it gets hard. It affects you. It affects you emotionally. It affects you emotionally. Like you said, ladies feel even worse when they are, you know, more guilt and more shame. And that is all got to do with your mental health. If you can take out 20 minutes of your time to stretch, you will physically and mentally feel better. And then most important in Ramadan is our spiritual connection. When you exercise, when you move your body, there is blood flow in the body. There is oxygen flowing through the body, which automatically gives you more focus. It gives you mental clarity. Think about it. When you go for a walk, or you go for a hike, or you're doing an activity outdoors with your children, how do you feel inside? You feel fantastic because you are moving. You're with your loved ones. You are able. It's all positive. And taking care of the body, which is considered a trust from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, is an important aspect of fulfilling our duty towards our religion as well as to our bodies, this magnificent, incredible body that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us. So incorporating exercise into your daily routine helps you with your health, your energy, your muscle, your mental well-being, and most importantly, your spiritual connection and focus with your Creator in that present moment when you are in your salah. Your breath work, bringing in the breath work in your salah, gives you the focus. It gives you the energy to focus and not just pray to finish, because you're so exhausted and you can't wait to get into bed. One of the things that is, you know, the huge misconception out there, Faiza, is that training and exercise needs to be at the gym and big muscles, and you've got to have the perfect outfit, and you've got to have an expensive fitness trainer. It's nothing like that. It's got nothing to do with that. You start slow. You build up gradually. You start learning different abilities and capabilities of your body. You give yourself time to warm up with gentle stretches. You know, break it up. Start in the morning for 10 minutes in your kitchen. Hold your counter, stretch your back. Hold your counter, do a squat, do a couple of squats. Your squatting, this is just information, squatting is a natural resting position in terms of the body. You're balancing on your body's weight. It's a resting position. And yet it is so difficult for us to squat. it is difficult for women to squat. And the only reason is because the back muscles and the lower back going into the buttocks area is so stiff. And the pelvic bones, which is our biggest bone structure, connects upper body and lower body together, is completely stiff. So if you compound that, pain has to go somewhere. So it's either going to travel up in the body and you're going to get horrible back pain, or it's going to go down into your legs and you're going to have varicose veins, fatigue legs, your feet are going to burn. A lot of women complain about a burning sensation under their feet. That is all lack of blood flow. That is lack of muscle connecting tissue that's happening in your body. You need to be creative. Your movement doesn't need to be standard foot pro. It literally needs to be movement that you feel safe to do. Holding your bed, holding your counter, holding the wall. Walk easy, walk slowly, but walk with a straight back. Take long strides heel to toe in your garden so that you're stretching your entire leg muscles, you know? So it's actually not that difficult. Another main thing, Beza, is it doesn't need to be an hour. It's hard. I really understand that mothers and, you know, our ladies are busy, and taking out an entire hour of the day between cooking, cleaning, school runs, madrasa runs, families come home for lunch again. It is busy. So taking out an entire hour is just too daunting. So you'd rather just not do anything. Doesn't need to be that way. You can do a 10-minute stretch in the morning before you start cooking. You can take another 15 minutes after your Zohar Salah on your Musalla, on the floor, and stretch and breathe. And 10 minutes on your bed before you go to bed. And that is already 35 minutes of movement and muscle activity that you would have never have done. And that 30 minutes spaced out through the day is going to give you so much more of a positive impact on your body than zero movement at all. Support.
I want to read one of the WhatsApps you sent to me from one of your clients. I just want to talk about through it as well, in terms of posture, etc., and back pain, because you've been mentioning this and how it makes a difference. So the person says, I would like to share my experience this year. It's the first time that I even considered working out in Ramadan. And let me tell you, I don't regret it one bit. The first workout was great, having to drag myself to go. I went out full of energy, feeling amazing. That day, while reading Taraweeh, I didn't feel tired at all. My legs were not paining and feeling inflamed. The best part is I had no lower back pain. I felt firmer in my posture of Salah, not slouching. Legs and belly all firm and active in the different positions of Salah. I just want to talk through this. I mean, she talks here about having, you know, changed eating and fueling the body with what's important and what's more nutritious after that. Because she just mentions that when we exercise, we naturally tend to move in a direction where we want to eat better, eat healthier. So it's quite a big impact in terms of it overall. So if we were to start, oftentimes, you know, we say we want to start with cutting out the bad foods. But maybe another way to start would be to actually start moving, and your body would then crave the more nutritious stuff that to eat at iftar and at seri.
You're very right, Reza. It is an automated effect on the body, because if you're going to take the time to exercise, you're not going to want to go eat that donut. You're going to feel bad eating that donut. It's going to prompt you to eat an apple instead. And it's those tiny changes. It's those, that just that one healthy decision or a different healthy choice that will have a ripple effect on you moving forward. And the ripple effect happens because the results show for itself. I cannot make you feel better. I cannot take away pain. You can. It's your body. You are responsible for your body. So when you make the choice to not have the donut at iftar and rather have fruit to break your roza with your date, you will literally in that moment physically feel the benefits of that. You will feel the hydration levels in your body improving. You will feel the your energy levels towards 8, 9 o'clock at night, not dipping, because your fruit is your good energy. But the donuts and the baking is your bad. It's sugar and flour. It's your refined sugars, which is so bad for you. So start because you want to feel better. And when you do start, inshallah, you will feel better, because that is the way the body is created. I keep going back to that. I want to make everyone very aware of what our bodies are actually capable of doing. When we understand the impact of our decisions, eating decisions and movement decisions on our body, we will know that this is the only body we're ever going to have. This is the only body that's going to enable us to walk, drive, sit, play with our children, go on holiday with our families. You're not going with another body, your body. You're not going to ever have my body. I am never, ever going to have a professional's body. It's about accountability. It's about taking serious accountability for the every choice you're making on what you are putting into your body every single day. I talk of the notion of input equals output. I teach my ladies about input equals output, that everything that you are putting in your body is going to give you something out. You have that choice. If you're going to put incorrect food in your body, you know that that's not good for you. You've already made that decision, and that's going to affect your output. So in the time, the resources, the money, the energy that we take as women when it comes to planning an outfit for a fancy wedding, or planning your meals when visitors are coming because you want to impress everybody, if we can just apply that level of focus and energy to our health, to our choices on our food, will we not be able to perform so much better in the roles that we have as mothers and sisters? Is it not important for us to be healthy in order to be this incredible mother and wife to our to your spouses and to your children? From being healthy and able to do what is important. When an auntie tells me that for the first time, you know, she's able to read Salah standing and not use a chair, my heart is filled with complete joy, because that is ultimately what it's for her creator. That's our purpose ultimately, isn't it? Our worship, our ibadah, our creator, that is our purpose. So
Sadia, we're going to have to actually end on that note. We won't believe we've come to the end of the program. The engineer said to me it's got a bunch of ads. So quickly, in about 10 seconds, if you'd like to round up on the advice you'd give all our listeners in terms of movement in Ramadan, what would it be?
Start moving, stretch, 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 stretch. Hold your kitchen counter and stretch. When you're in your bathroom, hold your countertop and stretch. Use your walls, use your home. Be safe in your movement, but please start moving your body. You have my details. If anybody needs details in order to advise on how to start, we can set up consults for advice on how to move. But you will know your body is created to move. We're very clever with Instagram and all of that. We know exactly who we're following. Start following gentle stretch pages so that you will know exactly how to move. I believe we're fully capable of doing that and learning ourselves. If we're able to make a fancy new recipe, we are able to learn a new move for our body. I firmly believe that.
Jazakallah so much. It's been a pleasure having you on. For those of you who are looking for Sister Sadia, it's Equine Aerobics with Sad on Instagram. And for to all of you, to our listeners, Jazakallah so much for listening to us on this program. I'm hoping it's been beneficial to Sister Sadia. It's been wonderful having you on. To everyone, until next time, wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.